Greetings. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. In the love of God. Praise the Lord for that. We feel His presence within us. It says, know you not that we are the temple of the living God? And if we are the temple of the living God, we should have the presence of God within us, the love of God. So I praise the Lord for that this morning, that song. It's beautiful. Just a few things here. Steve was sharing on shame, you know, and something came to my mind. And I think he touched on that about, you know, why is that? When we want to go pass out a gospel tract or when we want to share the gospel, so sometimes, I should say a lot of times, it's like you sort of draw back. Why? Well, you know why. It's from the enemy. And I was just going to encourage us, let's not be ashamed to share the gospel of Christ. No matter if they get angry at us, if they get mad at us, whatever. We got guys beating on our doors all the time with products. And they're not ashamed. They'll come and they'll say great big lies about this product to get us to buy it. We don't have to lie. We can go to the front door and beat on there and share the good news of God. And it's truth. So I just encourage that. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought I was just going to give a little update here on our mother, Denny and Dan and Betty, and here this morning, just a little bit. First of all, my sister Ida, I talked to her this morning. She called, and she's doing well. She's actually, I think she's coming home today. So praise the Lord for that. But on her mother, she's still in critical this morning. They put the ventilator on since Thursday, so not much had changed on that yet. So would you keep praying for her? But I want to share something, somewhat what my message was born from, on some thoughts here. In 95, most of you remember that when she got burnt, she had, I think, over 70% of her body burnt. And she was laying... She's laying in a hospital bed there for 12 weeks in Indianapolis. But she had that vent in as well. And that's why she was fighting the vent this time. She had nightmares on that. And she was not going to put the ventilator on the other day. And the doctor called and said that she needs to. They were down to the last option. So she would not give the doctor okay. And so we had to call her and talk to her about it. And finally she agreed to it. But anyway, as she was laying in the hospital bed in 95, she said, Lord, she had not been living for you like she should have been. She said, I'm going to get a little emotional here. She said, if you give me a few more years, she said, I will serve you with all my heart. She said a life flashed in front of her eyes. And she's seen her sinful life and she's seen all of us, our children. She's seen 15 children. That we're not walking in the ways of God. And the Lord granted her another 30 years. And I'm wondering this morning. Anyway, they do let her come to, and she could respond. She answers their questions by squeezing all that this morning or yesterday. So I'm wondering this morning, what is she saying to the Lord this morning? I can assume she's saying, Lord, give me a few more years. But I can say that he was instrumental in our lives the last 30 years. And I praise God for that. And I trust that the Lord will give her a few more years for us. So, anyway, that was what came from this was she told the Lord, she said, I'll serve you. And my mind went to Joshua 24:15, where it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I just want to share a little bit on that this morning. I'm going to take the text from there so we can turn to there. I got about 10 verses I want to read. Maybe we'll begin with a word of prayer here before. So let's pray. Eternal Father, as we do bow here this morning, we thank you for your mercy and your grace upon each and every one of us here today, Lord. We know that none of us deserves eternal life. We all deserved hell, but we know that you stepped from the throne to become that sin for us who knew no sin. We know that you made it possible. You made it possible for every living soul to be made right with God. But we know that very few, many are called, but very few are chosen. But Lord, we know that the house full here, and there are many, many others, Lord, that considered their lives and repented and are living for you. But Lord, we just want to thank you and just pray for our mother and Ida this morning, Lord, that you lift them up to the throne of grace this morning and bless them. There's many others in the hospital as well. I think of Jake Miller and Elizabeth. And I'm not sure who all, there's several this morning. We ask you to bless them, Lord. Just meet with them. Lord, that you would show yourself strong to them if they don't know you. I don't know where they're at with the Lord. But today, Lord, we just want to thank you and we praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, starting on verse 14 in Joshua 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you get nothing more of my message today than a few other things, that I want to just imprint that in your hearts. That may that be in the forefronts of our hearts. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. At all costs, whatever it may cost me, we will serve the Lord. We need to make that real in our lives. And I trust that we are. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He is that brought us up out of our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserve us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from among us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye may choose you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. So back to the text, verse 15. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what my encouragement today. But first of all, before I get to that point there, the question, you know, I want to ask, who are we serving today? Who are we going to be serving 5 years from now, 10 years from now? It'll be up to you how you serve the Lord today. Not striking fear in anybody's hearts. If we don't have that vibrant relationship with the Lord today, very likely we won't have it 5 years or 10. So this is my encouragement today that we will serve. But as I ask this question, we all acknowledge the majority of this world are serving the God of this world. Is that right? We can say that. With the truth, the majority of this world are serving the God of this world. And what is the God of this world? We can ask that in our heart. What are some of the gods of this world? The God of this world and the Prince of the Air. How can we say that? You know, we just look around and we can see. we can see, you know, like stadiums on a Sunday. Not necessarily just on a Sunday, but stadiums on a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoons, or basketball stadiums, they're all packed. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I know there's some stadiums can set hundreds of thousands of people in it, 100,000. And we look at that, the baseball, football, basketball, and whatever it may be, are sold out every Sunday, and the churches are empty. We know you don't have to be a church to be a Christian, but we know that when you're a Christian, you will find likewise believers to go worship the Lord. We see that the passions for entertainment and fun and riches and wealth are more important to them than God. And the people say that, no, they said, we love Jesus. We love this too. We love the entertainment of this, and we love the riches of that, whatever it may be. We love Jesus. But yet their passions, they end up in the church for, they go to church for 40 minutes, but yet they go to a sport event for 4 hours. Shows you where the passions are at. Can we ask why are the majority of the population of this earth serving Satan when God created everyone that was born to serve Him? Why? Why are majority of the people serving Satan? Serving the little god of this world and serving the one that created him for the purpose. God created every living soul in this life to bring honor and glory to Him. We know that there's many answers to that, but deception. You know, Satan is angry. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy every living soul that's on this earth. That's why, you know, we are in a battle at times. He comes and he tries to destroy us. We know that it started when Adam disobeyed God in the garden, and sin passed upon every man. For we all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. It says in Romans. And John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to this world, and men love darkness rather than light. Here it says, because their deeds were evil. Their deeds are evil. Why are they serving the god of this world? Because they love evil. In verse 20 there in John, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved or exposed. They love the things of darkness. And I remember, you know, just talking to a bishop of a Mennonite church years ago. We was on a boat, and we were out on the water, and he was telling us everything about the boat and everything about the surrounding town and all that. And interesting guy. So as we're sitting there, and all of a sudden there was a little bit of silence. So I just looked over and I said, "So, can you share how did it come about? When did you find the Lord?" He's a man about, I would say, about 70, and he ignored me. So I thought maybe he didn't hear me. So I asked him again. And he ignored me. I mean, he is talking about all the things around us, all the things that are happening in the town or what happened in the lake. But yet, you know, just we love to hear testimony. So I thought he was a child of God. And I feel that he could have been. I don't know, because I didn't get to hear much of his testimony. But anyway, I wanted to hear what he had to share about how the Lord met with him, and he would not share. Let our heart be full, you know, of things that pertaineth to God. So my question, why do men love darkness rather than light? Why not serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that created them and created us? Why not serve Him? Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I shared on that before. That's why we don't fight against flesh and blood, but it's the principalities and the powers and the prince of the air that wants to destroy every living soul. And that's why are the men serving the god of this world is because they love their sinful life. People that are serving the god of this world, the little god of this world, is because they love their sinful life. So I just want to share. So if you're in here today and you're past the age of accountability and you're not born again, it's because that you love your sin. According to the Word of God, that's what it shares. You love your sin. You need to repent. If you want to see Jesus, you want to meet God someday. And God forbid that we would continue to live in sin. We know that there's not a sin that's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. All of them is going to be cast into the lake, to the lake of fire. And we know that men trying to justify themselves of serving or living in the flesh, living in sin, they try to justify themselves in many ways. And just like, for example, the other day, I was in Woodburn filling up gas, and as I was sitting there looking, I seen a guy up by the sidewalk, and it was interesting. He had a shirt on, a big shirt, and it said Jesus on it, on his shirt. And I thought, huh. But then I seen a cigarette in his hand, and then I seen he had long hair, and I'm just sharing how he looked, and tattoos and all that stuff. And as I got closer, I seen that. So I thought, oh, I wonder who this guy is. So I never did this before. So as I got closer to him, and I said, Jesus, I sort of raised my voice at him. I just looked at him and said, Jesus, I said, surely you don't believe in Jesus, do you? And he talking about a shame, he walked to the side and he put his head down and he says, yeah, I do. I said, why do you believe in Jesus? Who is Jesus? Can you tell me? And he put his head down again. You know, it's like he said, he's a son of God. I said, how do you know he's a son of God? He said, he used to talk to me. I said, he used to talk to you. I said, he don't talk to you no more? He said, no. I said, you know why? All this while, he thought I was opposing Jesus. And I made it appear that way. And I never did that before. And that was really hard. That's hard to do that. But anyway, as I said, you know why he don't talk to you no more? I said, you pushed him out of yourself. I said, here you are. You're smoking and you got all these tattoos and you got the ways of the world. You look like the world. And there's a few other things I pointed out. I said, you made no room. I said, know you not that the temple of the living God, if we have the temple of the living God, he dwells right in here. I said, you pushed him out. That's why he's not talking to you no more. Then he realized that I was a Christian. And as I quoted some verses, and my, then he started justifying his life. Try to justify who he is, why he's doing this, why he's doing that, and all that. Then he started debating. One debate was that he don't believe that. Okay, he even has a shirt on that says Jesus, and he says that he don't read the Gospels. He said, "Them Gospels, them were for the Jews." He said, "I live strictly by Paul's letters, the Gentiles." And I said, You're a Gentile? And he said, we're a Gentile. And you're a Gentile too. And I said, but I've been grafted in. I said, you haven't been grafted in? And he debated and debated. But anyway, he tried to justify his life. living for the things of this world. Let's not justify our life. Let's live a life and not be too proud. And we come to a point when we need to repent, you know. Repent. You know, just like the, I've seen President, you know, President, and I'm not saying this in a condemning way, but he says that he never did anything bad enough where he needs to repent. And I think someone shared that a while back here. Think about that. He never done anything that was to a point where he needed to confess and to repent to God. It's a problem of proud hearts. I just wanted to share a little bit on those that are serving the little God of this world. And then a few verses here. We see here in Matthew 19, the young rich ruler here. And we see here, he came up to God, or to Jesus. He said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Then he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into this life, keep thy commandments. And he said unto him, which Jesus says, thou shalt do that no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young rich ruler looked over and he says, I've done these all since my youth up. What lacketh I? What lacketh yet I? And Jesus looked at him and he said, will thou be perfect? Go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Look at the next verse. One of the saddest verses you can read. It says, when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. You know, I know the Lord is not asking us to sell everything we have. But if we have something that pertaineth more than what God is, for us. He wants us to get rid of it. And that's what he's asking this young rich ruler. You know, he had a passion of riches in all this. So just encouragement. If there's anything that rises up above Jesus Christ this morning, God is saying, you need to get rid of it. You need to deal with it. And it says, then Jesus said unto the disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who can then be saved? But Jesus said unto him, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And he just makes it clear here that, you know, if we can't forsake father, houses, brethren, or sisters, or mother, or wife, or children, and we ponder sometimes, what does that mean? Especially when we say wife or children, you know. And we know that if they get in the way from us having that true relationship with God, somehow we need to deal with that. Or father or mother, a house or lands. Let's not serve the things of this life. That's what Jesus is saying. Nothing more important than the Heavenly Father. So we've seen here the young rich ruler, he could not depart from his wealth, from his things that he loved. And it cost him eternal life. We look at that and we say, how foolish. Then we go to 22 there, and the marriage, talk about the marriage feast there. Just a few more here, then I'm going to get on whom we're going to serve. But the marriage feast here, we see that Jesus said unto them in parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his sons, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden in the wedding, and they would not come. He invited them to the wedding, and they would not come. And we know that we'll see the answers here. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they all made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. See what happened. And the remnant took the servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard them thereof, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up the cities. Then saith he to the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore in the highways, as many as shall find, bid them to the marriage. And we see they went out and they brought some people in. Then when someone was sitting there on verse 12, it says, he said unto them, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and feet, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And here we see there was someone there that was at the wedding, was not ready for the wedding day. He did not have his wedding garment on. We see the end of there, if our wedding garment is not put on the day of judgment. Many in this verse means all. We see all are invited to the feast, but only a few are chosen. Only a few are prepared for the wedding feast. Think about that. We got billions and billions and billions of people that passed through this life since Jesus. And it says, many are called, but few are chosen. All were called, but few are chosen. Then we look at the life of Judas. You know, just one more or so here. He was asked for Jesus to be a disciple. Jesus wanted him to come and be his disciple and come and help him. And Jesus started out. But here we see as well, end of Judas's life, he left riches. Talked about him a little money bag. He had other things that got in his way. And we see the life of Judas. He was destroyed. He jumped to the tree and he hung himself, and it says his bowels gushed out. Because he loved the things of his life more than he loved God. Whom will you serve? You know, Judas walked many years there. Many of us walk many years. That is our heart. 40 years from now, every one of us in here will still be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with all of our heart. So as we see the pattern here in these passages that I read in the Scriptures, it tends to lead to from materialism, from wealth, and riches, envy. That takes hearts away from God. Even with in Joshua, the account there in Joshua 7 on Achan there, we see that he was asked there when Joshua went out fighting with Israel, and Achan went out he came back. Well, you see, he went in this one house and there was a lot of gold and silver and a lot of possessions. He took it and he went and he hid it under the floor tent. And we see that all of a sudden Israel were being defeated. And Joshua got on his face and said, "Lord, why did you bring us out here to have us all destroyed?" And the Lord spoke to him saying, "There's somebody's sin in the camp." And they went back and they found Achan with all the stuff under his tent floor. He had to take him out and they stoned him. Just not Achan. I shared this a while back, but his whole family. His whole family were stoned and covered up with a pile of rocks. Why are the majority of people serving the God of this world? Even Solomon here, we see that Solomon, his heart was taken away because he loved, it says, many strange women. And he was warned against that they're going to draw their heart away. There were the Moabites and Amorites and Hittites and all them. And he was warned, but yet he continued on taking other wives. And it says, "For the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods," the little gods, little g. Solomon clave unto these in love. It says he had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Then in verse 9, go down to 9, it says, And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel. And we see here, Solomon served the Lord for many years, but yet at the end of his life, the things of his life had a tendency to draw his heart away from God. And he was serving the things in this world. It says, "The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which has appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning the thing that he should not go after other gods, but keep not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as thee had done in thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and statute, which I had commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant." You know, we look at the little gods. These are more than just little things that we form out of clay or out of gold and all these things. What are some of the gods that maybe are hindering us in our life? Some things. It's more than just little idols. Check our hearts. And yesterday, as I was doing this, I had to check my heart. I had some little G gods that was hindering my spiritual life. I repented. One more passage here. I'm going to read here. Then Matthew 6, verses 22, on down. "The light of this body is the eye, and therefore the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if that eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other." We cannot serve two masters. "Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you should eat, or what you should drink, or what you should nor yet for your body. What you should put on is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap or gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you more better than they? And I think that Jesus is teaching here, after we read some of these things here on the young rich ruler and all that. And he was saying, you know, you don't have to lay up abundance of money for later times. Don't let them become little gods. He said, I'll take care of you. He said, the fowls of the earth, he said, do not I feed them? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for a raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed in one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe ye, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Whether we shall be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So let's not be deceived. Some say that we'll be judged accordingly what we know, and if we live it out, what we know, and we know that's deception. We're going to be judged according to God's word, how we search out God's word. If the scripture says, if you sin, you shall surely die. Because many deceivers are entered into this world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come unto you any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Okay, that's just on question, why? That was my question. Why are people serving the God of this world over the God that created us, over the God that wants to bless us, which I'll get to some of those verses, and give us all things that pertaineth to life? Because they're deceived. As I just read, many deceivers are entered into this world who confess that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that he can't forgive your sins. You only can hope, or he doesn't even exist. That's why many people are being deceived. So I want to share a portion on the other side. Why not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that set most of us free in here, the one that set our feet upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Why not serve him? He deserves all of our honor and all of our glory and praise that we can give him. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I trust that's in our hearts today. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, no matter what the cost may be. And to serve the Lord and to be able to hear well done, my faithful servant, I wrote here, it takes a long-term vision. Yes, I mean... I say that carefully because I read the devotional yesterday morning, I think it was, where Abraham and Lot, the visions that they had, they came to a point, you know, they were just left Sodom. They were out there and the cattle and all the people, the multiplied, and there was too many people and too many animals, and they had to separate. And so Abraham told Lot, he said, where do you want to go? He said, we need to go. And Abraham seen a lot. He's seen Sodom over here, but he just came from there. And I know Abraham was probably looking away from Sodom. But it says Lot, he went back towards Sodom. He seen the grass, luscious grass, and the wells, and all the water, and all that. He did not have a long time a vision. And we seen in a few short years, or however long it was, he was right back into Sodom. And here his whole family, most of his family were destroyed in Sodom because took them back close back to the world. to say that in the way just illustrating it. And here we see Abram, he took all of his and he went to the unknown land, it said, where there probably no wells. He had to dig more wells and he had to water the grass, and he's probably had a challenge to get all of his animals fed, but had a long time a vision, and we've seen how it turned out for Abram. For example, you know, when I got born again in 2003 or 4, there, I know that I got born again, and I was ready to go. I was actually hoping that the Lord would strike me down because I wanted to go be with the Lord. I would die. But as years went on, but then the Lord shared with me, as he shared with Paul, you know, Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt. He said, I'd rather die and go be with the Lord. He said, but I have plans for you. I have need for you in this time. And that's what the Lord shared with me as well. And I can say today, it is. I still have a vision for my family and for my, just not my family, for my grandchildren and all that. So we need to have a long-term vision if we want to see our family there. Another thing the Lord showed me at that time, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And we can say that today. The harvest is ready. We have people that are wanting answers, but it seems like the harvest, the laborers are few. I mean, and that, from that point on, I told the Lord, I'm willing to serve you the rest of my life. I had challenges from there to here, trust me, but that is my heart every day, that I would serve him to the fullness. In Luke 12, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's whom we serve. It's a Father that wants to give us the kingdom and all the things that pertaineth to righteousness and goodness. Why not serve him? Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax old. And it's, what a contrast to the young rich ruler. He was going out and trying to get all he could. And here as children of God, when we see a need, we're looking for needs, I should say, right? When we see someone that has a need, we want to help them. It's a different kingdom. It's a blessing to serve in this kingdom and have that greed. I remember having a greed of money. I worked 6 days a week every week. And you could not save up enough money. But today, it's what God gives us, we don't count it ours, and we're willing to help those that have need. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, treasures in the heavens that falleth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Let your loins be girded about, and your loins burning. And yourselves liken to men, and wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are the servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Are we watching? He said, blessed are those servants when the Lord comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that ye shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet, and he will come forth and he will serve them. Think about that. He will come forth and serve us. What a blessing. Isn't it a blessing, brothers and sisters, that we can wake up with that true peace of God in our hearts, knowing that if we die today, we can be with Jesus Christ? Isn't that a blessing? What a joy. I remember waking up, and I share this probably many times. I remember waking up in the morning and having a turmoil in my heart, knowing that I did some evil things this weekend, and weekend after weekend after weekend it comes, and waking up from this the guilty conscience. It's a horrible thought. And today it's a blessing to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that created us, the one that forgave us, the one that cares for us. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If he know that he is righteous, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Before the world knew us not, because it knew him not. Think about that. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. It says, we love him because he first loved us. That's who we serve. We serve that loving God today, the King of Kings and the Lord Jesus. And I wrote, why not serve the one that loves, cares, is gentle, forgiving, and is everlasting to everlasting? Why not serve him? You meet people that say that, I know where I'm going when I die. Hey, all of us know some people that said that before. They said, I'm okay with that. That's where my friends are at. I'm going to go there. They have no idea what they're saying. They're going to be tortured with their friends, with the devil. On the flip side, Satan. Why do people say that I'm going to serve Satan? I had many people say that. I'm a server of Satan. He hates. He kills. He destroys. He inflicts pain. If it's not that, then at that, eternal punishment. Think, how foolish. Don't make sense why anyone would want to serve the devil. And many people say today, I love Jesus, but also I love my sinful life. I had a person tell me that. I'm not an evil person, but I love to do some things, probably not right with the Bible. He's serving the devil. He doesn't love Jesus. You can't love God and mammon. You can't love the God of this world and God of the universe, God of the heaven. You can't do that. It's black and white. So if we're in here and we think that we can get by with some sin in our life, in this life, and think that we're going to be okay in the day of judgment, we're being deceived. It will not. It will not pass. In Matthew 18, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. That's Jesus. He came to save those which are lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? If so, be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more than the sheep, than of the 99 that went away astray. You remember the time you got born again? That precious moment, I remember. It just seemed like the Lord was so personal that he just stepped from the throne just to single me out and to forgive me of my sins. It was so personal to me. And that's what here he says. Almost like he stepped away from everybody else and came and he singled me out. And I know that you guys experienced that as well. What a blessing to be able to serve someone that cares, someone that loves us in that way. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, I'm sorry, that's it right there. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That is his heart, that none would perish, but all come to repentance. And he pulled us out of the fire. We owe him our life. He saved us from the destruction to come. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And a message that heard someone preach years ago, a sin of not rejoicing. And we need to rejoice from the great things. Maybe I should say we should not forget the great things that the Lord has done for us. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And we know what happened. Jesus was telling the disciples that the world is going to rejoice when they see him hanging on the cross. But you're going to be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman then she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, and she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into this world. And therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, that your joy no man taketh from you. That's what Jesus says. And no man can take that joy from us. He's talking about after his resurrection and the Spirit of God come upon them. He's telling the disciples. He's telling us today that we can have that. Let's maintain that joy, and never forget what the Lord has done for us. And it will keep our eyes on Him in a greater way. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in the Father's name, He will give it unto you. Hereunto have you asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then it talks here in Matthew 7 again, you know, it talks about asking, and you shall receive. That's who we see, that's who we serve today. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that hear. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then the next three verses here, always bless me. Or what man is there of you whom, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? A serpent? If ye then, being good, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And he did. Remember asking for forgiveness of our sins. Did he add more onto us? No. I remember sincerely having a remorse, a sorrow, and asking the Lord Jesus, please, give me that, take my sins. And he took them far as the east is from the west. And he gave me that true peace that passes all understanding. That's who we serve. Let's not serve anyone else but him. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make that rule in our lives. And sorry, wrong chapter. In 2 Peter. Here I'm going to read a few verses. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith from us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Read that again. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. Look at that. He give us a child of God, the one that surrenders. He will give us all things that pertaineth to life and godliness. He didn't talk about all material things. He won't. Not always blesses you with lots of money or lots of materialism, but God promised, I'll bless you with all things that pertaineth into life and godliness. He will not give us more than we can handle, but we can't handle. He will not give us. He promised that. But I will give you all things that pertaineth to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Children of God, we can escape that corruption through through Jesus Christ. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things are blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. One more passion of scriptures here. Passive here. 16. Nope, John 6. Talks about the bread of life. And I'll just maybe read a few of these here. Jesus says that Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses give you not the bread from heaven, but my Father give you the true bread from heaven. And that was Jesus. For the bread of God is come down from heaven that giveth life into this world. Then say they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, but he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We won't have those mornings when I woke up 20 or 18 years ago, waking up feeling so empty. I needed something. I knew I needed something, but I could not get anything. I would go out and after Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and a sinful part of my life came back up and went out and did it again. You ate of that, and then Monday morning you were in desperate need. But here, if we eat of the bread that came from heaven, we will not hunger again. Then 44, it says, no man can come to me except Father which had sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, which save he that which is God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He again said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. They're dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and die not. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, and which I will give for the life of this world. And we know, and he did. We know that he stepped from the precious heavenly throne, where he was there with the Father, experiencing great things. He stepped down on this earth for me and you, for the whole world. And he stepped down so that he wanted to give everybody that bread that they could live forever. My question was earlier, why are only a few people choosing to eat the bread that give us life, eternal life? We want to thank God for that, that he's counted us worthy. We could be, that we find that true bread that gives us life. So I praise God that as brothers and sisters in here, we can serve that God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we know that a Christian life is not a bed of roses, but it's a battlefield. We're not promised a easy life on this earth. But we know that the Christian life is the only life. Amen? The only life that we can live. How do we know that it's the only way? How do we know that Jesus is, that this is the only way? I mean, you talk to many different people, and they will say that Jesus, that he was just a prophet. He was just merely a man. And you got they serve Muhammad, and they serve that. How do we know? Why are we persuaded in here that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? How do we know that he's the one, that he's the only true God? Is the Spirit of God in us? Does our spirit line up with the Scriptures? Does our spirit line up with the Word of God? I trust that it does. Okay, I don't have too much more. But anyway, through the Scriptures, we see. You know, how do we know that this? And I just want to share a little bit. Through the Scriptures, we see the disciples that walked with Jesus. As their love grew and grew for him, you know, it grew after his ascension. They walked with Jesus, and they didn't all know for sure who Jesus was before his crucifixion. But after Jesus died, and he resurrected, and he ascended into heaven, we know the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples, and it was real unto them. How do we know? Every one of them, except for Judas, he betrayed him early on. But every one of those disciples went to their death with joy in their hearts and knowing that they're going to see Jesus when they opened their eyes up. And they went, and it says that the Spirit of God came upon them, and they began to speak with tongues, and God gave them utterance. They went out, again, testifying and preaching until their death. Every one of them went out glorifying Jesus, the Son of God, until their death. We know that a lot of those deaths were painful. They were crucified in copper kettles, and were put in copper kettles and cooked and hung upside down, crucified, and they were pulled apart. They were stone, uh, uh, drug around the town with forks, but they would just say, I will not betray my Lord Jesus. That's whom they serve. And that's what I want us. No matter what may come, no matter what we may face, that we would keep our eyes on Jesus, and he'd be the forefront of us the day we take our last breath. And we've seen that stuff, and he was stoned. He was just ordained as a deacon there. And a few short days or weeks later, he was stoned. And it says that when he looked up, he seen the heavens open up. You know, you read these scriptures. We know that every word is true. And we see that he seen the heaven open up, and he seen the Son of Man sitting on the left side or right left beside the throne of God. Jesus was there. Paul had his head cut off. It's when God met him on the road there when he was traveling into Damascus. God knocked him off the horse, and Paul asked, Lord, who art thou? And he told him who he was. And he told Paul what to do. And Paul went and made Jesus his, he served Jesus the rest of his life. He went and he had his head, until his head cut off. And Paul says, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have kept the course. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, not only for me, but for all those that love his appearing. Do we love his appearing? Are we awaiting and anticipating for Jesus to return? I trust that we are. If we're not, we could have. I'm not saying we do. If we're not, there could be some things that are hindering us. Some things in our life that maybe we need to deal with. But we should be waiting and welcoming Jesus at any time. I remember days that I didn't. I couldn't because I had sin in my life. Then the forefathers as well. This just goes back 1500s. And you read the Martyrs of the Mirror and a lot of those that knew that when they were baptized that meant death. That did not stop them from doing the things what God wanted them to do. I mean, they had some evil tactics that how they were killed. They were pulled apart by animals or by the bones pulled out of sockets, and they had their tongues cut off and tongues screwed up, and they were cut off fingers piece by piece. But they said, I'm going to serve my Lord. For me and my house, they said, I can just see him. For me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. They were shouting out at their family, stay strong until the end. Said, don't give up. A few short minutes, I will meet you in the other side. That was them. They had it in their hearts that they were going to serve the Lord all their life. Why? Why, as I talked about the disciples and Stephen and Paul and the forefathers, because they loved Jesus Christ. They were delivered from their sinful life. All of them were delivered from their sinful life. They felt the deliverance that they received when they accepted Jesus Christ. They felt the deliverance. They were delivered from their sinful life and the worldly passions, and they had their names written in the book of life. That is why they could go to their death with great joy in their life. And can I not say that here? Brothers and sisters, have we not been delivered from our sins, our worldly passions, and have our names written in the book of life? We have, right? Let's continue on. Let's continue on till we see Jesus coming and we can remain faithful. I'm going to close with a few verses here in Peter. But ye are a chosen generation. Peter's saying here to the church here, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, obtaining from this fleshly lust which war against the soul. Listen to the message the other day. We cannot be strangers and pilgrims of this life if we are engaged in everything that this world has to offer. Think about that. We will not be strangers and pilgrims. You know, we should feel like strangers and pilgrims. We should not feel at home in this life, in this world. Okay, I found out where I'm at here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstaining from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves into every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or the supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for praise of them that do well. For so is this the will of God, that which well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but for the servants of God. Use our freedom not for the cloak of maliciousness, but for the we can use our freedom for the to serve our God how He wants us to serve. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. That's all I have, and I just pray that if you get nothing else out of this, that we would settle in our hearts that for each and our family, we can say for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless you all.